said, I must tell G. I must tell G. Said, Jesus can help me. He can do it, do it alone. I must tell G. Will y'all help me? Much of our problem is we want to tell everybody else. We like to go to Facebook and Twitter and Snapchat with our problems. And the truth of the matter is, let me talk pastorally for just a minute. You should have told Jesus. Why? Because those followers that you have really is not your friend. But the hymn writer said, what a friend we have in Jesus. You need to tell Jesus, because Jesus is the one that can help you. There's going to be times where you can't get to your pastor. There's going to be times where mama ain't going to answer the phone. There's going to be some folk who die and pass away. But if you learn how to tell Jesus, everything will be all right. And even if it does not be all right, what I like about Jesus is, if he doesn't take your problem away, Jesus will get in your problem with you. I must tell Jesus. Listen, if you have not talked to your neighbor as of yet, first of all, a shame on you, but then tell your neighbor that you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord today. Listen, we are praying, our church family is praying for the male family. We're excited and encouraged by the presence of our brother Al, who is in a wave of grief after his wife has been completely healed. Because his wife has graduated from labor to reward. And I believe that even if she could come back, she would not come back. Because the truth of the matter is, she's seen Jesus, and that's what she's been living for anyway. However, we are not fools. We know that death is hard. When your loved one dies, it's not just a wound you can put a Band-Aid on. It's more like an amputation, that something, someone has been cut away from you. So we're praying for our brother. We're praying for Al. We're praying for his family. as they face this wave of grief over the next 2 days, that they lay our sweet sister to rest. So remember to pray for Brother Allen as you see him. If he has to leave early, make sure you tap him on the shoulder and encourage him, remind him that this body of believers is praying for him. We're standing in the gap for him. This Saturday, at 9 o'clock, we're having, and I believe we've historically called it an all-workers meeting, and we're going to come together. Those of you who are in leadership, if you aspire to be in leadership, if you got some ideas about leadership, we want to welcome you to come next Saturday and spend 3 hours with us from 9 to 12 as we talk about some leadership essentials. We thank God that he has given us a great space to not only minister to the congregation, but to minister to the community. Yesterday started our basketball ministry. Thank you to Big O and his team and all the children. All the children that are playing. Yesterday was my daughter's first day of organized basketball, and it was more like full court tag. But we thank God for those children, and we thank God for those adults who are working with those children. We would encourage you, if your time permits, even while our meeting is going on next week, the children will be playing basketball, and we encourage you to come and support them. This Wednesday night, Pastor Bingham and myself will be having another kind of part two of our transitional conversation. So we'd like to see not just a couple of you, but we like to see all of you come as me and Pastor Bingham dialogue, and I get a chance to sit and listen to all of his good wisdom in front of you all. That conversation will also go on Facebook Live so that you can share with your friends and family member. Just one last thing before I take a text. On Wednesday nights for Bible study, we'll be working through a book for the next few weeks called I Will by Tom Rainer. And if you want a copy of that book, if you're going to be participating in our Wednesday night Bible study, that will be a good tool for you to have. And there's a sign-up sheet, I believe, out in the vestibule that you can sign up for that sheet. We'll order you a book so that you can be in with us as we work through this topic of I Will. Sister Linda will give some more announcements at the end of worship, but I just wanted to share that with you all. Matthew chapter 6, let me breathe a word of prayer, and I'm going to be reading Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Let me pray, and I'm going to ask that if you are able to stand out of reverence for God's word, once I get done praying, if you would stand out of reverence for that word. Father God, we thank you for giving us this time. We thank you for giving us the privilege to open your word and to look at your word and to communicate and to receive your word. God, I ask you now that as I stand behind this sacred desk, that you would forgive me of all of my sins and renew me afresh. God, I need your help. I need your help to preach the spirit of this text. I need your help to preach the structure of this text, and I need your help to preach the substance of this text. Help me to preach for the good of those who hear, but most of all, help me to preach for your glory. God, I'm asking that you would extend to me the grace to preach like a dying man, to dying women and men, as if to never preach again. In the name of Jesus, I pray this prayer. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, I'm reading from the English Standard Translation of Scripture. You would follow along with whatever translation you may have. Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 5, it reads like this. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven those our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You may take your seat. Today I'd like to preach from the thought, the learned pattern of prayer. The learned pattern of prayer. As a sermon in a sentence, I need you to know that disciples, Christians, followers of Christ, need to be taught how to pray. That's right. We need to be taught how to pray. We did it for our children. Our parents did it for us. Our grandmothers did it for our parents. When they taught us, now I lay me down to sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep. They taught us to pray when they taught us, Lord, bless this food and make it a nourishment to our bodies for Christ's sake. Amen. They were teaching us how to pray. In the 19th century, London, England, in the Elephant and Castle neighborhood, there was a church by the name of the Metropolitan Tabernacle. Charles Spurgeon, who is known even to this day as the Prince of Preachers, pastored that church for 38 long years. Spurgeon, whose sermons are circulated around the world even before the internet, was known again as the Prince of Preaching. However, it is Spurgeon who declares that what fueled his ministry to thousands of people on a weekly basis at the Metropolitan Tabernacle was the ministry of prayer. Charles Spurgeon, as he came from his pew, as he came from his seat and walked up the stairs to his pulpit, Sunday after Sunday, he would say a simple prayer that said, I believe in the Holy Spirit. As Spurgeon preached Sunday after Sunday, hundreds of people would be in the basement as thousands of people worshiped in the sanctuary, and they would be on their hands and knees, on their face, during worship, praying. I'm not suggesting that any of you need to go down to the basement and pray while we're in worship. That's not what I'm suggesting. However, I would encourage you to designate your pew as a place of prayer. Spurgeon believed, as you and I should believe, that a praying church is a powerful church. Not only was Spurgeon committed to prayer, but our Savior himself was committed and is committed to prayer. I like that. I like knowing that our Savior is committed to prayer, because eventually the Bible will teach us that we don't even know what to pray. But because we don't know what to pray, Jesus himself is in heaven, and do you know what he's doing? He's interceding for us. He's interpreting what we say, and he's praying to God on our behalf. We like to shout about Jesus is in heaven building us a mansion, but I'm glad that Jesus is in heaven sitting at the right hand of the Father praying for me. I don't know about you, but I sure enough need some prayers, and I'm thankful that you all are praying for me, but I got great joy because I know that Jesus is praying for me. Listen, Spurgeon says that prayer ought to fuel the church. Jesus says that prayer ought to fuel the disciple. This model prayer is not something that we simply see in Matthew. We also see this model prayer in Luke chapter 11. In the account that Luke gives this model prayer, the disciples have watched Jesus pray. They've heard Jesus pray. So they say, "Lord, teach us how to pray." If it's anything that a disciple of Christ ought to want to learn, a disciple of Christ ought to want to learn how to pray. Listen, here in Matthew chapter 6, I need you to know that Jesus is not in prayer mode. Jesus is in teaching mode. If you go back to Matthew chapter 5, what you'll see is that Jesus has sat on a mountain, and he's turned that mountain into a lecture hall and a laboratory, and he's teaching his disciples on many topics, but one of those main topics that he's teaching on is the ministry of prayer. His disciples, they want to know how to pray, so Jesus teaches them how to pray. I need you to know, I need for us to know that as disciples, as followers of Christ, as students of the way, prayer is not an elective. Prayer is an essential. Jesus expects us to pray. This is why in verse 5, Jesus does not declare if you pray. He says, and when you pray. My brothers and sisters, prayer ought to be a part of your life, not just a little part, but prayer ought to be a big part of your life. Jesus says, and when you pray, listen to this, he says, he separates this particular passage, he separates this lesson into two different parts. There's two different movements that we need to look at. The first thing Jesus shows his disciples, he shows them the do's and the don'ts of prayer. It's in your Bible. He says, you must not pray like the hypocrites, for they stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. He says, truly, they have their reward. Listen, Jesus is pointing out the hypocritical pattern of prayer, and he says, don't pray so you can be seen. See, what the Pharisees would do is, there was a time each and every day that they were supposed to go down to the synagogue for a time of prayer. In fact, it was multiple times a day that they were supposed to show up at the house of the Lord, and they were supposed to do nothing but prayer. But their posture of prayer, their pattern of prayer, their motivation for prayer was simply to be seen. You do know, like the Pharisees, they used to like their robes. They used to like their tassels. And Jesus says, those hypocrites, are praying for the wrong reason. They're praying to be seen. In fact, if one of the Pharisees or one of the hypocrites, if they were late making it to the synagogue, what they would do is they would stop on the street corner in the middle of the street, and as people would pass by, they would start praying out loud. But they weren't praying because they wanted to talk to God. They certainly weren't praying because they wanted to hear from God. They were praying simply because they wanted to be seen. Can I tell you something? Some of the stuff that we do, we don't do it for God. We don't do it because we want to be in connection with God. Unfortunately, we do it because we want to be seen. And if your aim is to be seen by man, then you already have your reward. He says, truly I say to you, they already have your reward. But then verse 6, Jesus says, but when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father in secret. This kind of confused me because Jesus is teaching the apostles right now. Jesus is teaching those who would plant the church. And he's telling them not to pray so they can be seen. He's telling them that they need to learn how to pray in private. He tells them to go to their room and shut the door. So back in Bible days, the house where your father lived, the house where you were at had lots of different rooms. But one specific room in every house of Jewish folk was that they would have a room specific for prayer. In fact, many different religions, even today, still have prayer rooms in their house. In fact, when me and my wife, when we were looking for a place to stay here, we went to talk and look at one house, and it was a nice space, just an empty room. And the man who we were going to rent from, he said, or who we were looking at the house, he says, this is our prayer room. And I thought he said it's a playroom. So because he had told us we don't have any children, and I was wondering, what do you need a playroom for? What do y'all doing here? Maybe it's not my business, but I thought about it. I said, he's not of the Christian faith, and what they had was a prayer room. And I need to tell you something about having a prayer room. It's really not about where you pray, but more so about who you pray to. Because I need you to know that there is no other God. There is no true and living God, but God our Father. And if you're praying to somebody else besides God our Father, who dwells in heaven, who created everything, your prayers is nothing but meditation. Listen, he says, but when you pray, go into your room. In that culture, people would pray publicly, but they'd also pray privately. The way that you and I need to apply this is that when we pray, we need for it to just be us and God. Can I tell you something? Even when you hear me or somebody else praying publicly, we ain't talking to you. So it really don't matter if you don't like the words. It really don't matter if we don't sound right to you, because the truth of the matter is we ain't praying to you. Jesus says, he says, cut off the rest of the world and get in tune, just me and you. Get in tune with the Father. Watch this, because this conversation is private. This conversation has nothing to do with anybody else. It's about me and you. Can I tell you something? Even as you listen to me preach right now, you ought to be praying right now. And that prayer is between you and God. Your prayer may be you know what? This preacher is getting on my nerves. He ain't been here long enough, but watch this. Feel free to tell God whatever you want God to know. Feel free to tell God whatever it is you want him to hear, but I need you to know something. God already knows your thoughts. He already knows your need before you even pray. Some people ought to be repenting for what they're thinking even now. I need you to know, not because I know, but because God knows. He says, not only should you pray in secret, not only should you cut off everybody else and get in tune with God, he says, don't pray heaping up empty phrases. Don't be trying to use all these big words. Can I tell you something? If English is your primary language, then pray in English. I know that, some of our charismatic brothers and sisters, I love them dearly. They have what they call their prayer language. They speak in tongues, and they do things like that. Maybe some of you speak in tongues. Listen, I'm not here to judge. All I'm saying is you can get a prayer through using your own language. You can get a prayer through using your own personality. You don't have to pray like Big Mama Nim prayed. I grew up in the Black Baptist Church. I'm proud product of the Black Baptist Church. Nobody better not ever say nothing about the Black Baptist Church. I love the Black Baptist Church. And in the Black Baptist Church, we used to have deacons who would pray and in that church. And they get on their knees sometime. And word for word, as I grew up, I can say exactly what Deacon Roebuck was going to pray. But I need you to know something. Deacon Roebuck meant those prayers. He prayed the same prayer every Sunday, but he meant what he said. And can I tell you something else? When Deacon Roebuck prayed, he wasn't talking to us. He was talking to God. Jesus tells his disciples, he says, don't you be heaping up empty phrases. I know that you've been to the college. I know that you got your degree. But you ain't got to show off to God, because he gave you that degree. He don't care how many big words you know. Quit just talking just to hear yourself talk, because that's not what prayer is. Verse 8, he says, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. He says, pray like this. He says, our Father. This is good news here, because back in the previous testament, back in the Old Testament, a priest would have to go to God on your behalf. But Jesus says, pray, our Father. That means, listen, not only is he your daddy, but he's my daddy too. And one of the things I learned is I appreciate your prayers, and you ought to appreciate the prayers of others, but you need to know that you can go to God on your own behalf, because he's our Father. Kids, they argue because they think that they're the favorite child, and they identify their parents as, that's my daddy. When in fact, you got a house full of kids, he's everybody's daddy. We hope. We may need to do some DNA testing, but he's everybody's daddy in the house. But some kids believe, Journey may believe, that I'm more of her daddy than I am Lyric's daddy. But the truth of the matter is, I'm both they that daddy. And neither one of them has any privileges that the other does not have according to their daddy. Now, they got different responsibilities. They got different gifts. They're wired differently, but they got the same daddy. And I need you to know that, listen, all of you have different gifts. All of you are wired different. All of you have some different experience, but we all got the same daddy. Rebuke the folk that believe that God is more of their father than he is our father. Rebuke the people who believe that they got a corner on what God is and who God is. He is our father. And then listen to this. Jesus says, when you pray, he says, pray, hallowed be thy name. In other words, he's saying, put some respect on his name. I wish I was preaching to a group of youth right now. I talk about Birdman. You got to put some respect on the name of God. Can I tell you something? God is not your big dog upstairs. He's not all that in a bag of chips. God is God, and he's God all by his doggone self. He don't need you to be God. He was God in the beginning when he said, let there be, and he'll be God in the end when we praise him, because he is. God is God, and we ought to reverence his name. We ought to put some respect on his name. We ought to show his name honor. Watch this, because his name is above every name. I know your name cute. Your mama put 63 different letters in your name. It's unique. When you was in school, the teacher couldn't pronounce your name, so they just called you Trey. Listen to this. Your name is unique, but your name ain't the name of God. His name is above every name, and according to the text, Jesus says, when you pray, you got to respect his name. And he says, verse 10, y'all still walking with me? He says, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me walk through this backwards. On earth as it is in heaven. God has a perfect will and a permissive will. The problem is your granddaddy was a fool. Don't worry about it. He's my granddaddy too. His name is Adam. And when Adam gave and bit of the fruit that his wife gave him without addressing his wife and addressing that serpent and just being obedient to God, he ushered in sin into the world. And because our granddaddy ushered sin into the world, there is sin in all of our DNA. That's right. The Bible says all have sin. Our family reunion shirts, when it concerns Adam, is the last name should be sinners. Because watch this, because all have sinned, it is not on earth as it is in heaven. Because heaven is a perfect place, and when we get to heaven, we'll be perfect. That's good news, Brother Al. That ought to be encouraging news right there. When we get to heaven, we'll be perfect because we'll be just like him. But he says, as it is on earth, as it is in heaven. I need you to know something, because some of us, even sitting in this room, we so heaven bound. Big Mama used to say, we're no earthly good. We know all the scripture. We dress up real good on Sunday, put on our best cologne. We know how to sing and we know how to shout. We bring our big Bible to church. We wear our crosses and things like that. But watch this. It's not going to be as it is in heaven, because we're on earth, and earth is full of sin. This is a sin-sick, a sin-cursed world. But watch this. We ought to be striving to do right. Listen, you ought to tell the man in the mirror, you at least ought to want to do right. Listen, the same sin that you struggled with 5 years ago, you ought not be struggling with today. You ought to get some help. You ought to ask for forgiveness. You need somebody in your face to make you do right if it's going to be on earth as it is in heaven. You can't just keep on repeating the same sin. Can I talk about sin for a minute? Y'all don't want to hear me, and I want to pick anyway. Listen, there are some sins that we don't like to deal with. We don't like to admit. When the last time you heard somebody say, I got a problem with gossiping? Uh-huh. When the last time you heard somebody say, I got a pride problem? When the last time you had somebody take ownership of being greedy? Watch this, because there's these sins that we deal with, it's these sins that's in us, but because we see different sins in our neighbors and in our brothers and sisters.